This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Brothers and sisters, I have been reflecting on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ما من ثلاثة في قرية ولا بدو لا تقام فيهم الصلاة إلا استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. That there are never three people in some city somewhere or even out in the open deserts that do not establish the prayer together. They don't get together to pray as a group. They don't get together and listen to the Quran in prayer from one another, right? Except that shaitan will be able, no brainer, will be able to entrap them. He said, the prescription, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ, so stick together. فَإِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبُ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ الْقَاصِيَةِ, because the wolf only eats from the herd, the sheep that strays. The sheep that strays. And you know that he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the most eloquent of human beings. So there is something so profound about this. I thought about the fact that, you know, sheep are blessed creatures. You know, they're fertile, they're peaceful, they're tranquil. Those who deal with them wind up adopting some of these good qualities. But they're also incredibly easy targets. They're incredibly vulnerable. And that is why some of the early Muslims used to say about the relationship between man and shaitan, the wolf of man, right? He used to say, I have seen that the human being, I mean, this is the way I envision it, has been hurled, tossed in the middle between Allah Azza wa Jal and between the enemy of Allah, Shaytan. فَإِن تَوَلَّاهُ اللَّهُ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. If Allah were to take him in, into his sanctuary, into his protection, Shaytan will never be able to access him. وَإِن تَرَكَهُ اللَّهُ, and if Allah were to leave him out, leave him in his vulnerability, leave him as an open target, the shaitan will devour him. There's no contest. There's no equivalency between a lamb, a sheep, and between a wolf. فَلَا تَظُنَّنَّ الْعَدُوَّ غَلَبْ وَلَكِنَّ الْحَافِظَ أَعْرَضْ. He continued to say, so don't ever think the enemy won. The enemy of Allah can't win. But at times what happens is Al-Hafidh, the guardian, Allah, has turned away, has withheld his protection. Why did he withhold the protection? Because you opted out of it. You moved away from community. You moved away from hearing the Quran. You strayed from the system, the fortress that he set up for you to protect you. Once you stray, that is when the wolf starts tracking you, right? And he doesn't just jump on you when you're 6 feet away from the herd. He waits till you go a bit further and further. And then he starts tracking you, picking up your scent, right? Maybe even provoking you to go further in panic, in fright, and sets up an ambush for you, then suddenly attacks. And likewise the shaitan. Very patient, very deliberate, very calculated. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he takes this further and he says, the analogy, he says, وَمِن كَيْدِهِ الْعَجِيبِ أَنَّهُ يُشَام مِن نَفْسِ. You know, of the sort of the incredible deliberation, tactfulness, strategizing of shaitan is that he goes up to the person and he takes a sniff. He picks up your scent, right? He takes a sniff of your soul. What kind of person are you? He does a personality test for you, basically. And he says if he finds him the lax type, the chill type, the lazy type, right? He will push him in that direction, the path of least resistance. That's your type. So I'll continue making you more and more lax until you neglect the obligations. And if you're the hardworking type, you're the go-getter, you're the bulldozer, you're that person, he'll push you to do more and more of that until he drops you into innovation. He doesn't care which way you go. You're just not allowed to go here. You're not allowed to stay marching straight to Allah. And the Quran captured this as well, by the way, that shaitan said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will lie in wait for them. I will sit to ambush them upon your... I'm going to straddle the path. I'll send you this way, send you that way. I don't care which way I send you. You just can't ride this path. I will not let you ride this path easily. So in essence, the Quran is being very clear, and the Sunnah in its examples about shaitan is being very clear, that shaitan is an engineer. Shaitan is a PhD in misleading you. And by the way, I don't mean misleading you as in you, human beings. You meaning you personally. He studies you and continues studying you and continues refining the strategy based on his study of you. He's endlessly at work. He wants his second PhD and his third and his fourth in you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to the Sahaba to offset a suspicion they were going to have, he said to them, be careful, inna shaytana yajri min ibn Adam majra dam. The shaitan flows through the blood pathways, the veins of the human being. He's always with you. He's flowing through you, right? He's reading you inside and out, nonstop. You know, when I thought about this idea of like, he never exits. He never checks out of the job. And this is not to say, a'udhu billah, that technologists are all shayateen or sort of like devil worshippers or otherwise, but I couldn't help it, to be honest. To remember, you know, when the mobile phones were coming out, the smartphones, and Steve Jobs, you know, the founder of Apple and the iPhone, all of this, he said, you know, when he was pitching this to the world, very famous, it's on record, that I want this device one day to be like the arm of the human being, another limb, inseparable from the human being. And of course, it is extremely useful. But are you using it, or is it using you? Right? Is it serving your needs? Or are you the one being served on a platter to the greed, right? The technologists out there build their algorithm, and that algorithm does have satanic ends. There is sort of greed involved. There is profit margins involved, knowingly or unknowingly, right? This is how it's built. You know, sometimes people say like, you know, it's crazy how the algorithm, like sort of, I talk about something and it just shows up in my YouTube ads or in my newsfeed, or I'll talk about tires, there's a Michelin or a Goodyear. And by the way, there's no conspiracy here. They told you they were doing this. But where they lied was, I'm studying you so I can better serve you. You know, I need to know where you are and what you're thinking, what you're talking about, so the microphone is on. And they know you're not going to read the license agreement. You're just going to hit download. You're going to hit accept, right? You're going to hit install. But they're telling you so I can serve you. So that when you look up a business name, I don't give you the sushi spot in Korea. I give you one on Tillman Street. So that was the lie. They are studying you to better customize how they can draw your attention, to draw your business, to make you their patron, their customer. That's what they're doing. And it's not just them listening to you. They study you more than you study yourself. This is the whole problem. This is the satanic aspect here now. It opens the door to be a perfect weapon of shaitan, is that you're forgetful and he's mindful and they're being sort of students of you, studying you, so it's perfect for him. He loves it. You know, when you scroll, brothers and sisters, these technologists have set up an ability to see where you slow down in your scroll. Which one really gives you pause? Is it the woman dressed shamelessly and provocatively? Or is it the ad? Or is it sort of the gambling app? Right? Which one is it? Where you slow down is where I'm going to give you more of. Right? I just want to juxtapose that, put that side by side with how much attention we pay to our own behaviors, right? Because these are what, this is how shaitan basically, he doesn't strike sledgehammers at you, right? He's tactful. He chips away at your armor and then suddenly you have an invasion. How carelessly do you use your device is all I'm trying to say. How much room did you open up for it to become the easiest tool of shaitan against you? And I'll give you a few examples or some prompts. I challenge you to think about them. And none of us are perfect with this. The first of them, have you ever asked yourself, how much is too much? Sometimes when people feel like, man, this is really controlling my life, way too intrusive, way too much time wasting, what they do is they look at like screen time app, my average is 6 hours this week, so I did 5 hours, you know, and so I'm less than my average, so I'm good. That's a very superficial way to get engaged with this battle. Battle for your soul. Battle for your akhirah, right? Battle for your time, because time is life. Imagine in the knowledge of Allah, you need maximum 3 hours of screen time to survive in the akhirah. And you said, alhamdulillah, I was at 6, now I'm at 5. But survival is 3. You can't just be thinking about it in this haphazard way. Also, when do you use it? How strict are you on yourself about not using it in the very few hours, the most important hours to be invested in for quality time with building relationships inside of your home with your family? You know, Neufeld, in his famous book, Hold On to Your Kids, he said, I don't believe this is a conspiracy theory. He said, I don't believe that this was intentionally done to sort of like abduct our children. He said, but if there were a system that were built to brainwash our children and get them to think in a very specific way about life in the world, I can't imagine a better system than legally imposing them to be out of our hands for 40 hours in 5 days. Right? The 8 to 3 or the 7 to 3 in school every 40 hours. That gives you what? 8 hours a day they're out or more. That you have 4 hours with your kids, brothers and sisters, after work, on average. Those are not even enough to offset the 8 hours. So are we going to be mindless about it? Are we going to be distracted? Are we just going to sort of lazily keep grabbing the device? It's very important to think about. Even more important, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when Uthman ibn Abi al-As came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, I can't keep my focus in the salah. Shaitan's always coming at me, harassing me. I'm always losing touch. You know what he said? He said, ذَاكَ شَيْطَانٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ خِنْزَبٌ. That is a devil whose name is Khinzab. Meaning, it's a very specific devil who's specialized, who's done a postdoctoral degree in what? Specialized in distracting you from getting out of your prayer, what you're supposed to get out of your prayer. He's focused on this. So how ready are you to sort of be protective of your prayer? You know, the heart, brothers and sisters, is like the fan. You know the ceiling fans? When you turn it off, when you stop sort of like circulating around a certain subject, revolving around a particular topic, it slows down slowly, slowly. Then it finally stops, right? Likewise, if you're sort of scrolling on your device and your mind is spinning and you slip it into your pocket right before Allahu Akbar, do you think you'll get anything out of your prayer? You know, people have stopped, and fellow imams tell me this all the time, it's not just me, have stopped asking about how to find khushu', focus and humility and inspiration in the prayer. People have gotten to the point where the most common question now is, I keep losing the count of the rak'ahs. I can't even do math anymore. Why? Because we toggle so much on these devices that even when I put them away, my mind is racing. I have these racing thoughts, so I can't even count to 4 anymore. This is a huge deal. In the masjid, brothers and sisters, like in the masjid at least, in the masjid, like if in the hospital of the hearts, the house of Allah that was built for this purpose, to replenish our recognition of Him and our relationship with Him, make it the exception, not the rule, that you bring your device into this masjid. Keep it in the car. If you have to bring it, turn off the notifications well before you get inside, a few minutes before, and don't turn them back on until you step outside. I challenge you. If you cannot do that, then you are the most desperate one needing to do that. You cannot resist the easiest of challenges just because they're right in front of you. You know, there is an ayah, before I sit down, brothers and sisters, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about people that are going to Hajj, people that are going to Umrah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed, لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ. Allah is testing you in a particular way, which is the hunting game, the animals you would hunt, right? تَنَالُهُ رِمَاحُكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ, that you can easily capture with your spears and your hands. Meaning, look, you're going to find animals right in front of you in Hajj and Umrah. But you know, when you're in that state, you can't hunt. It's not allowed, right? So they're going to be right in front of you. Allah is testing you with them. It's so easy. You can literally go, just grab the pigeon, grab the wild animal, and you got dinner for the whole tribe. Allah is testing you with these hunting game animals that you can easily access with your... It's not just about Hajj and Umrah, right? Everything Allah puts in front of you that you can easily access, He's testing you with. And He gave you the tools to pass this test. He gave you a framework and a system. The ayah continues to say, لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ, so that Allah may know, may see from you, who fears him, who truly fears him before he meets him, بِالْغَيْبِ. One brother in the masjid said, I entered, Shaykh, I entered to make salah. I'm praying salah. And the person in front of me, in the row in front of me, is flipping through his feed. And I saw a woman head to toe while in my prayer. My eye sort of drifted to his screen, head to toe naked. I saw of her what I have not seen of my 30-year wife. And I freaked out and I left the prayer, because I didn't know, was my prayer invalid or not? And he comes to the Shaykh, he's asking him, like, you know, is it valid or not? That's why he left the prayer. He thought it was no point anyway. I've never seen this before in the masjid. But I don't want to make the most extreme example, oh, alhamdulillah, we're not doing that. We're just texting. Create barriers. Prove to yourself you're not a captive of it, of this mindless scrolling, this mindless usage. That is what shaitan loves. If you read the Quran, you read the sunnah, and nisyan wal ajala, forgetfulness and haste, first thing in the morning. To offset the plan of my day, first thing I just get hijacked with the thoughts of my scroll. Whatever's there is going to sort of hijack everything I had planned for that day. All my productivity. Last thing before I go to sleep at night, mindlessly, forgetfully. If he can get that, Allah built you, brothers and sisters, for better than that. That is when he can toy with you, the shaitan. And the device is like the perfect weapon for it. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Brothers and sisters, this was not a sort of tirade against technology khutbah. This was just but an application for us to remember that this is the true message of the khutbah, right? The wider message of the khutbah, that if we are to study shaitan's statements, study shaitan's qualities, just in the Quran, just in the prophetic sunnah, it is incredibly liberating. Like, it's amazing. Like, shaitan is tactful, it has these PhDs I'm talking about, but when you read the ayat, you read the ahadith, he's fully exposed. We're so fortunate, right? It's like someone who thinks no one's gonna catch him and he's scheming, and you're watching him in HD on the surveillance camera. Like, it's futile for him. If Allah takes you into his book, into his deen, into his system, into the community he told you to stay close to. You know, I'll give you one example. The greatest target of shaitan, right, is to convince you of something he's not convinced of, which is there's no hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He is a hopeless cause. But when he became arrogant, he still had hope in Allah. When he rejected to make sujood, prostrate to Adam, he still said, oh Allah, give me some time. He had hope that Allah would give him some grace, some period, some extension. Yet he comes to you, and the first thing he does, and the greatest thing he loves to do, is tell you there's no time, there's no chance, you can't do it. You missed Fajr this morning. What's the point of praying Dhuhr? Right? What's the point? You already missed Fajr. Don't pray Dhuhr. And then he pushes it on. You already missed two prayers. What's the point of the third? Right? There's no point. So when he tells you that, and you're close to the Qur'an, be like, don't try it. I read Allah's book. There's endless hope. And he told me that you work against hope. Exposed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and with it I close, that shaitan said to Allah, وَعِزَّتِكَ وَلَجَلَالِكَ, I swear by you, لَا أَبْرَحُ أَغْوِ بْنِ آدَمَ مَا بَقِيَتْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَجْسَادِهِمْ, I swear I will continue to mislead the children of Adam, the human beings, so long as their souls remain in their bodies. So Allah responded and said, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, I swear by my might and my majesty, لَا أَزَالُ أَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ مَسْتَغْفَرُونِ, I will continue to forgive them so long as they seek my forgiveness. That's what Allah wants from you, and that's what shaitan wants from you. Allah wants you to believe, I can snap out of these bad habits, phone or otherwise. I can start praying my five. I can get rid of my haste, my forgetfulness, my mindlessness, my anger. I can be a part of rebuilding this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us from his great book that which gives us wisdom to traverse this life. May Allah grant us the ability to understand ourselves and understand our enemies, and most important, understand his greatness, azza wa jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to forgive those that have died. Have mercy on our deceased. Give dignity to our ummah. And we ask Allah to have a special mercy and compassion and healing for our brother Abu Amir, the brother who sells the vegetables outside out of his truck and helps with our security as well. He is hospitalized and suffering from a serious illness. May Allah give him a full recovery. A full recovery that leaves behind no traces of illness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give a full recovery to our sister Khalida, the mother-in-law of our brother Tahir. May Allah expiate their sins and raise their ranks. May Allah azza wa jal reward their family members for what they're going through. And may Allah give cure to all those who are sick and clear the debts of all those in debt. And bring together the hearts that are averse to one another in these communities and in these ummahs. Allahumma ameen.